Last night we had, I believe, in the Holy Ghost, and now the Holy Catholic Church. And the first thing to say about this should be that the Church is holy. But the word that sticks out and we wonder about is Catholic, because we know a great church, the Roman Catholic Church, capital R, capital C. You notice that here the C is small. And it is an adjective that means universal. And really what we should think of is that God's people are holy people. Those who believe in Christ are scattered throughout the whole world and make up a family, a body, a temple for God, a city. There are so many pictures of the church in the Bible, but you notice something else. None of them refer to the building. We do that. We talk about the church as a building. We're going to church. Come to church. You ought to be in church Sunday. And we think of going to that particular building. Like, here's the church and here's the steeple, you know. That's not really the building. The building is the rest. Open the door and there are the people. That's the church. The people. You are the temple of the living God. You are the church. You are the body. You are the family of God. And in this reading for today, it says, I believe that the Church of Christ is holy in respect of its author, Jesus, and end, its holy calling, the true saints within it, that it is one by unity of origination. That means it was founded by the Savior. One by unity of faith, hope, charity, sacraments, discipline, that it is Catholic in that it is universal and possesses all truth and graces. And then the verse that, one of the verses that we just sang, she from every nation is one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. And our scripture readings, 1 Timothy 3, 14, 15, 16, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, who has matured to the point where he could leave him in a place and say, here, this is your responsibility. And so he's teaching Timothy about how to run the affairs of the church. I hope to come to you soon, he says, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. The church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. That teaches us that the mystery of godliness is Christ, because this word is all about him. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And he is the one, he is the rock upon which the church is built. And he is the one that we look to. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is the one that we worship. He is the center of all of our lives. Christ is all and in all. Let's turn also to Ephesians 3. And this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians at Ephesus. And this is also about the church. For this reason I bow my knees, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer, what a request. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul has been speaking about the church and how by the church, the manifold wisdom of God is seen. Here, let's see. This grace is given to me, the very least of all the saints, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means that what God does in calling out a people for himself is so marvelous, so miraculous, so wonderful, that the principalities and powers in the heavenly realms look on in wonder and awe. And I think one of the things that the Apostle Paul is highlighting here is that Jews and Gentiles come together in this church. No one could bring Jews and Gentiles together. You know that. Who could do that? Only through faith in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2, in his death he put to death the hostility, and he made peace through the blood of his cross. And this is something that men and angels will wonder at. And that teaches us that we ought to be together in love. And it's a testimony to the world and to the whole universe what God is able to do in the hearts of people who are naturally filled with sinful pride. And somebody said the other day they step on each other to get to the top. That's how we are. But here, flowing together. And I think that's one of the main points that he's making here. And then in this prayer also, that you may understand with all the saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, the greatness of God's building and the greatness of God's love, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, to be filled with the fullness of God. God wants to do that for his people, with all the fullness of God. And you think, how could that ever be? And then you read, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So God is the one who is able and can do more abundantly than even Paul prayed, than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So God is working in his church to bring glory to his name, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, Lord, answer this wonderful prayer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Answer that prayer among your people today. Help us to flow together in love and unity. We know that you have a purpose over your church, and you want to glorify your name. Last year, I think it was. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. That's not too bad yet. Okay, good. We're still friends. Last year, I think it was here, when Brother Luton was here, he spoke about the church and what God had in mind for the church in one of his meetings, the meetings we had on Labor Day. And he said, if God's people could only see how he wants to glorify his name through the church, he says, I can't imagine anyone who gets a grasp of this ever being involved in a church split. He said, it couldn't be. He said, it just struck me how he said that, because just because of the way he expressed it. But I mean, I know there are things that, you know, that happen, but the idea was that you would do everything you could to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace if you could once get a sight and understanding of what God had in mind for the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't explain too well yet, and in the interest of time, I think maybe today it would be okay to just read what my dear Anglican Professor Packer says about I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. In the Nicene Creed, it says, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Official Roman Catholic teaching presents the Church of Christ as the one organized body of baptized persons who are in communion with the Pope and acknowledge the teaching and ruling authority of the Episcopal hierarchy. It is holy because it produces saintly folk and so on. But non-Roman bodies, they believe, however church-like, are not strictly part of the church at all. Protestants challenge this from the Bible. In Scripture, the church is the one worldwide fellowship of believing people whose head is Christ. It is holy because it is consecrated to God, though it is capable of grievous sin. It is Catholic because it embraces all Christians everywhere. It is apostolic because it seeks to maintain the apostles' doctrine unmixed. Pope, hierarchy, and extra-biblical doctrines are not merely non-essential, but actually deforming. If Rome is a church, she is so despite the extras, not because of them. In particular, infallibility belongs to God, speaking in the Bible, not to the church or to any of its officers, and any teaching given in or by the church must be open to correction by God's word written. We are the Holy Catholic Church who believe in Jesus throughout the world, that the New Testament presents the Protestant view. I like this. That the New Testament presents the Protestant view is hardly open to dispute. Well, so we know where he fits. The dispute is over whether the New Testament is final. That's what it's, whether the Bible is true and whether we can, whether we accept its authority. The church is the supernatural society of God's redeemed and baptized people. Looking back to Christ's first coming with gratitude and on to his second coming with hope. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. To this hope, the sacraments point. Baptism, prefiguring final resurrection. The Lord's Supper, anticipating the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, all churches, like those in Corinth, Colossae, Galatia, and Thessalonica, to look no further, are prone to err in both faith and morals and need constant correction and reformation at all levels by the Spirit through God's Word. Now, one more thing, because we all go to local congregations. The acid test of the church's state is what happens in the local congregation. Each congregation is a visible outcrop of the one church universal, called to serve God and men in humility and perhaps humiliation, while living in prospect of glory, spirit-filled for worship and witness, active in love and care for insiders and outsiders alike, self-supporting and self-propagating, each congregation is to be a spearhead of divine counterattack for the recapture of a rebel world. Here's a question for you. How is your congregation getting on? Well, that should inspire, stir, challenge me and all of us, because we're part of it. We're part of it. May God help us to fill our places in His church, which is there to bring glory to His name and show forth His manifold wisdom. Lily, you really got me going with all those good songs you played. Now, this is our last meeting in this series, so let's sing 169. 169 in closing. Some of you, let me see your hand. Who's leaving today? Oh, I don't like it when people leave and I have to stay. 169, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in meant that, right? It's hard to part asunder, but we'll be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank the musicians. I know some of them aren't here, but the morning call at 8 o'clock and the instruments, they're a great blessing, and your singing. I thank Rob, especially my dear brother, Rob. His wife was here, and Rob had a few more days that he could take free, and she had to go back to work. So I thank her and him for their personal sacrifice, so that Rob's part of a team in the church where I serve, and that team is really the envy of all my fellowship ministers. They can't believe that we've been so blessed. And thanks, Rob. I'm glad to have someone from home. From here. I said you and my other fellow ministers are envious of my my musical team. Or if you're not, I would be if I were you. Okay. Oh, she's great, too. Thanks for playing for us, Lily. Yeah. I wish you were part of my team, too. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thanks. Have a great day. Stay around as long as you can.